Big Joe Dubin. Joe, good morning.
Morning to you, buddy. How are you?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I tell you what, I was watching last night, man, and you look good. The South Beach Don Johnson beige sports jacket.
Yeah. I noticed that, too. I thought it was late when I was watching. I thought, man, I need to adjust the color on this TV a little bit.
Sometimes it pops and looks good. So sometimes you get lucky, but I should have wore it. That looks better with a pink shirt. The next time I'll wear a pink shirt.
You need to worry about your accessories. I was going to get to that as well.
I keep waiting for you to get up in that helicopter. I mean, I'm used to getting in that, someone in that helicopter covering the games on Friday night.
Well, people ask me all the time if I'd ever do that. And I say, no, it's the same helicopter that Batman flew in the TV show. It's the same size and everything. And Rudy weighs 100 pounds. I'm about 300. There's no way that thing gets off the ground, so I will never be in that helicopter.
Yeah, I heard that that you guys couldn't get a Huey from Fort Campbell to come. So.
Oh, remember who said that, Joe?
I can't argue.
I was just thinking the helicopter pilot just learned to fly sideways. Joe, we're serious about Prep Legend and obviously what high school means to you, but the McGavick days, Bubba.
Hey, tell us, Joe. I mean, I think when you were playing at McGavick, I was assistant at Hunter's Lane. Tell us what it's like. I was fortunate to come through the coaching ranks the time that I did. And one of the guys you played for was a great mentor to me and Coach Elrod. Tell us a little bit about what it was like playing for Coach Elrod.
Well, I'll never forget the first time I met him. Elrod Donaldson Junior High, and he came over. And, he's a legend back then, still is today to a lot of us. And he came over and talked about us going to McGavick. And I'm not kidding you. It's one of the few times in life where you're just starstruck. I mean, here's Wes Elrod telling you to come play football for him at McGavick, and you'll enjoy the ride. So we were like, we'll do it. And you go over there and you get ninth grade, and we had a great ninth grade team, and then you start getting on varsity, and he was great to us. I mean, we ran, for those who are listening, remember, every other play we ran the damn jet sweep. We ran it 75 times a game, and nobody could stop it. Nobody could stop that play. And then one time, it was I think my junior year, Wes comes in, and he's like, oh, we got a special play. They're going to think we'll do the jet sweep. We're going to do a little play called the quick pitch. And he's like, Joe, I need you to get outside and hook the end, and then we got a touchdown on that. I'm thinking, that's such a simple play, it's not going to work, because I have to hook the end. My big butt's got to get out, hook the end, and I got the guy behind me, the running back's going to go. So we ran it, and it scored a touchdown like almost every single time. So he was great at, it was basically a deer offense and a lot of up the middle and kind of a little around the edge. But he was fantastic, and we had a good time. The problem was we kept running into Overton in the playoffs every year, and Overton was loaded, and we had some great matchups. My favorite, my first time dealing with an Overton football game was in 83. They had Keith Davis. For those who don't know, he's probably one of the best football players ever come out of Nashville. And we played at McGavick. There was probably 10,000 people at McGavick, and it was packed. It was three deep around the fence. I mean, it was an amazing atmosphere. First play of the game, we kick off to Overton, and Keith Davis gets knocked out, and he gets knocked out on the kickoff. They have to, five guys carry him to the sideline, and we're thinking, this is the best player in the Southeast at this time. We're going to win this game. So we stop him, first down, second down. Also, the third down, he comes back in the game. And I'm not kidding you. We were all like, what is he doing? And they ran a sweep to him. He goes 80 yards for a touchdown. We lose the game 10-8. So there was a lot of moments. I remember after the game, Wes was just, we were all just shell-shocked. And he said, boys, very few times in your life you come across a player like that, and you'll remember this game. And he's right. By God, I remember that football game. But Wes was wonderful. We had a good time there and made the playoffs every year we were there. It was just unfortunately we couldn't advance past the first round, because back then there wasn't 180 teams getting the playoffs. There was very few teams that got in the playoffs, and we just couldn't get past Overton. But it was a fun ride with him.
Our legend, Big Joe Dubin. Of course, you can hear him here and everywhere and on Channel 4.
Joe, your passion for high school football, I've several friends. We've talked about just the onset of the Titans coming in and the high school's getting a backseat coverage due to that in the local media. And I won't mention the one of them in particular, the Tennessean. But anyway, your emphasis on high school sports at Channel 4.
Well, it became my mother was a big fan of my athletic prowess. And so when she passed away in 2011, my brother called me one time and said, I need you to come to the house. I want to something to show you. So I went to the house. My mom just passed away. It's this huge cedar chest with all kind of stuff in there. He said, look in that box right there. I was like, all right. I'd not seen this box before. I had no idea what it was. Open it up. My mother had cut out every single thing that every time I was in the paper in high school football. I mean, things I had no idea. There were probably 50 things in this little folder that she had from high school football. She took so much pride in me doing that. And I'm thinking, you know what? She took pride. There's got to be more parents and moms and dads that take pride. And along this journey, I've discovered hundreds, maybe into the thousands, you know, of parents who just love their kids playing high school football. Very few of us got to go to college. Hardly any of us went to the pros to do this. But I said to myself, you know what? This is going to be something that I'm going to get in front of and highlight these guys and spotlight these coaches and these kids because nobody else is doing it. And I've never once been told to leave a high school practice. I've never once been told, oh, you can't show that or, you know, been yelled at. It's always welcoming. It's always been the same way when I played. I remember 1985, Al Jerkins was a sportscaster at Channel 2, came out to a McGavick practice to give our quarterback, Mike Woodward, an award for being player of the week. I was just the excitement of, there's Al Jerkins, man. He's come out to our practice, and I'll never forget that feeling of seeing him there. So I'll make it a thing with me once a week. I'll go on a Wednesday. I'll go to a high school and talk to the coach and see the players and have fun with them. But it all started with my mom's just love for high school football and that cedar chest with all the newspaper articles in there. I was like, I got to keep doing this because this is going to hopefully impact another parent and child the way it did me. So it's always a big thing with me. Covering the Titans is my least favorite thing to do with my job because you can get that Titans coverage anywhere. You ESPN get all that stuff. But you know what? You're not getting Mount Juliet Wilson Central on ESPN. So I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you really good, and that's where I keep going with it. So I'll ride this train as long as Channel 4 lets me do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, not because we're friends, but I tell you, we appreciate it as high school coaches and as high school people, what you do for high school sports because you're one of the very few that, you know, that like you said, if we call on you, you're always there. And hey, we know we're the back seat, but I tell you what, every professional and every college player comes through high school first. And you know, like you said, not everybody gets a chance to play college ball. You got a chance to play, but when you come back and you talk about your football experience, this is what I've told former players. You always talk about your high school days.
Yeah.
You know, that 15-yard run now is a 30, 35-yard run, you know. But let me tell you this. Your mother's not the only one that done that because I got a mom that she done the same thing, and I still have the scrapbook that she's put together. But now I got to ask you something else. What about little Joe? Now, I know you're proud of your son because he's your son, but, I about teared up a little bit when I read the article there when he put on your number.
Yeah.
And he's playing, and that's a proud thing for a father.
Well, it is a proud thing. He, you know, he surprised me with it and did it. It's funny, the other night we had a football game at Friendship Christian, you know, middle school game, and he had a bad game. I mean, he was trying to find the ball. He's playing nose guard, and they're driving him back, you know, all that stuff. Well, the kid in the fourth quarter, the coach just read him the riot act up and down, and said, you got to get aggressive, you're standing up, just went off on him, you know. And a parent said to me, he said, well, how does that make you feel? And I said, what? They said, well, how does that make you feel? The coach is sitting there screaming at your son. I'm like, I wish they would do that the whole game. What do you mean, how do I? Have we become that soft that I'm going to get upset because the coach is yelling at my kid? I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is football. This is, you know, the greatest sport in the world. And there's this coach who's yelling at him and teaching him. And I told my son afterwards, I said, the day that coach doesn't speak to you is the day you need to give up football. It's the day he stops caring about you. I mean, I got read the riot act from high school coaches to several college coaches the whole way. And looking back, it was awesome. I deserved every bit of that. So it's just getting him out there in that environment and getting that and being part of the team. And I said, when you're part of something greater than yourself, it's an amazing feeling. And that's why I'm such a fan of high school football. You know, I say this every year, Coach, at the end of the football season, there are teams around that go 0-10. And there's 19 players on the team. And all their buddies are out working to have a good time. And I always say this every year. I said, you know what? Because you don't make the playoffs, don't let this take away what you sacrificed the last 3 years for high school. This is for seniors I'm talking about when their season ends. I said, because you got stuff in your back pocket for the rest of your life that nobody else has, that your friends who don't play sports have. You've got these memories and this wonderful times and these feelings that you can't buy. You can't go to the store and buy this. You have them forever inside of you. So it is a wonderful feeling, a wonderful thing to see him out there playing football. And how far he goes, I don't know. I just want him to have fun and have memories, the same ones I had at McGavick.
Big Joe Dubin with us, of course, Greg Pug, Big Joe Show every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 11, and the sports anchor at Channel 4 as well. You played at Samford. Terry Bowden was your coach.
Yeah.
And Jimbo Fisher was your teammate. Can you tell any – are there any stories tellable? Let me put it that way.
Jimbo was not the nicest teammate, not the nicest player. So we did. We had camp, and I was the defensive end, and he had on a red jersey. But he would taunt us the whole time, like, you can't touch me. And he was just he was a jerk. So we had practice, you know, one day. It was a two-minute drill, I'll never forget. And the tackle missed me, and I went straight up. I could have cleaned his clock, but I didn't from the backside. So as I approached him, he turns around and throws the ball right into my crotch. And the anger that boiled up from my toes up to my body, I went right at him, you know, and the coaches separated us and all that stuff. And he didn't talk as much after that anymore because he knew people were starting not to like him on the football team. But I will give him this. He threw the best football I've ever seen. You couldn't stop him. I mean, he was an amazing, amazing quarterback. To see him now as coach at A&M, I never thought I would see him coach anywhere. But you know what? He rode the Bowden train. He got on with Terry. He went to Florida State with Bobby, became the head coach there. Now he's at A&M. So it's just weird seeing him in that light when I knew him back in the day at Samford and do all that stuff. But I was not a fan of him. He was not a good teammate.
Well, Joe, I mean, if you'd been a little nicer to him, you probably could be the offensive coordinator at A&M right now.
Defensive line coach, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah. I ran into him when he was at the OC with Saban at LSU in 2000 when they beat Tennessee in overtime game. And we talked for a little bit there, but it was you kind of knew once he got involved with Saban at LSU and then over to Bowden at Florida State that he was going to rise like he did because he's a good football mind. I didn't really like him that much.
Well, and you know, maybe he could hire you as you've heard those lack of quality control, coach. all right. Last Saturday, our prep legend was Watson Brown. Let's hear the story.
All right. So Watson was, you know, Watson had like 9 coaching jobs in 4 years. He kept bounced around everywhere. So in '85, he went to Rice. And then he was recruiting me when I was at McGavick. And so here's the thing with McGavick. When I entered my senior year, I was the third prospect in the state. We had Todd Collins in Jefferson County, Robin Perry at Brentwood Academy. I was third. Brad Gaines was fourth at Vanderbilt. So before my senior year, I got mono, and I lost 50 pounds in 2 weeks. I was in the hospital for a week at Old Donaldson Hospital. I missed all of camp at McGavick. I come back 2 games in my senior year. I break my ankle. I don't come back to the playoffs. I mean, it was a bad senior year that I had. But, you know, here's a kid who's 6'3", 260, and people kept recruiting him. I mean, Miami recruited me. A lot of the schools kept recruiting me. But Watson at Rice was really on to me. And he's like, you know what, well, we got a good thing going here. I want you to be part of this team. I'm thinking, man, I'm gonna go to Rice. This is not bad because Watson likes me and everything. Well, then in 1985, you might remember, a lot of coaches switched jobs. And Watson left Rice for Vanderbilt. I'm thinking, oh, I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, this is perfect. I mean, I'm going to go from Rice, and I'm going to be at Vanderbilt playing at home and all this. And I never talked to Watson again after that. He only had like 11 scholarships. Because you remember that back in the day, they had 30. He only had like 11. I never talked to him. It was the weirdest thing. And his recruiting coordinator, and it was a guy named, I think it was Van Christopher or Van Holloway, or it was Van something. He ended up being a coach at Good Pasture for many years. And I remember getting with him. He's like, you have to talk to Watson about that. So I called Watson. You know, there's a short window when he takes over in December from signing day in February, but I never heard from Watson Brown ever again. And so that was my Watson Brown. So I told him that, too. He apologized. He's like, look, there was a lot going on that time. So I went from Vandy to Cincinnati to Rice back to Vandy. And so that's all right. You know, things happen, and I'm where I'm meant to be, and I'm good with that. But it was just funny because I thought, man, he's at Rice. He loves me. Oh, he's coming to Vanderbilt. I'm going to go to Vanderbilt and play football. Never heard from him.
Well, and probably because you couldn't spell rice, but much, but you can eat, but you can eat a lot of it. That's right. So anyway,
I can't do that, man.
All right, hey Joe, thanks, man. What are you doing today?
I got to be at Vanderbilt at 10 because that's the game. I want to go over and see LSU. Like we talked about, I am a college football. I love college football, and I love seeing LSU helmets. I don't care if it's Georgia, LSU, Alabama. I love it when these historic programs roll through town, so I'm going to go watch the first half over there.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man. See you Monday.
All right, brother. See you.